Today's reading is taken from the book of Amos, verses 1 to 14. Woe to the complacent! Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria. You notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. Go to Calneh and look at it. Go from there to Great Hamath, and then go down to Gath in Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is their land larger than yours? You put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fatted calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. The Lord abhors the pride of Israel. The sovereign Lord has sworn by himself, the Lord God Almighty declares, I abhor the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. I will deliver up the city and everything in it. If 10 people are left in one house, they too will die. And if the relative who comes to carry the bodies out of the house to burn them asks anyone who might be hiding there, is there anyone else with you? And he says no, then he'll go on to say, hush, we must not mention the name of the Lord. For the Lord has given the command, and he will smash the great house into pieces and the small house into bits. Do horses run on rocky crags? Does one plow the sea with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into bitterness. You who rejoice in the conquest of Lodabar and say, did we not take Carnaim by our own strength? For the Lord God Almighty declares, I will stir up a nation against you, house of Israel, that will oppress you all the way from Lebo Hamath to the valley of Arabah.
Thank you, Sue. Paul's just coming to bring that message to us, so let's pray as he does so. Lord, we ask as we come to look at this passage of Amos that you will help us to understand what a message written so long ago can say to us in our day and age and say to us as individuals. Lord, may we hear your word as Paul preaches in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to continue with the series on Amos, and I'm glad Sue read, especially the last part of that reading with all those words. A bit tongue-twisting. Amos, I want to recap first on what we've already heard, but just to remind us, Amos, a prophet for all times. What do we mean by that? Really, what we're looking at is the Word of God that was given by Amos 1,000 years, just under, before Christ. And those words are true for us today as they were then. And what I'm going to try and show you in part of that reading is how God's word that Amos proclaimed to the people of Israel is so true for us to proclaim today to the world and to the countries around us. Not a lot has changed. Let's look at Amos, a farmer to a prophet. When God chose him and called him, he had to change his lifestyle. He had to alter his daily routine. How many of us at different times in our life has had to stop and change where we were going? When Frieda and I retired, we decided we'd go to Norfolk for a while. Got to like it. Lovely life. I could sail. Always wanted a boat, and I had a boat. Very fortunate. But our children had other plans for us, which I managed to ignore for 5 years. And then suddenly realised that, no, we needed to be back down in London with them. Wasn't a long decision. We'd come to visit them, and for about 3 or 4 days they'd been on. Well, our two daughter-in-laws had been on at me about it. Our sons, they lay back. They don't argue with Dad so much, but the daughter-in-laws do. And it had taken nearly 5 years of them pestering me. And then we were about to leave the next day. And I suddenly turned around and said, and Frieda said to me afterwards, I was glad I was sitting down for this. I said, we're going back, put the bungalow on the market. And there was deadly silence. And it's just a decision that God was telling me, you are going to move. That took a year from then to before it came about. And it had taken 5 years to get us to come to that point when it was the right time to do it in God's eyes. And that's how God speaks to us sometimes and changes our direction. He spoke to Amos and turned him from a farmer into a prophet, where he could teach the people of Israel. He came from a little area just about 12 miles south of Jerusalem. The year was 755 BC. The place was Bethel. The political climate was good. Now today we may say the political climate's a bit disturbing. Nobody's quite sure what's going to happen in the coming 3 or 4 days. Everything may suddenly have changed, or it may be dragging on. Here, the Israelites were very comfortable, very well off. It was a time of prosperity. Their economy was thriving. Maybe not perfect, but it was very good. The military situation was very good. Their armies were strong. And the areas around them were weak. So what have they got to worry about? The problem was that not having anything to worry about, they forgot to turn to God to see what God was saying. So instead of listening to God, to where to go next, they forgot to worship him. They lost track and had forgotten all that had happened to their ancestors. The journey to the promised land. No, that's history. We're okay now. How many times do we think we're okay now and forget the people that are not quite so okay? So let's come to Amos chapter 6. Verse 1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and those who feel secure in the mountains of Samaria, the distinguished men of the foremost nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Is God saying woe to us today? The distinguished people of the world. I don't know whether you quite called him so distinguished as other leaders of America, but he holds that position of authority. And yet, even though he proclaims Christ, and he sometimes has been heard in his speeches praying that God would do this, can we really see there a man that is listening to what God is telling him? Some of his behavior doesn't show love, compassion, or care. We have to look at the world today, not in 755 BC, but in 2019 AD. Many years have gone by, but that message, that word of God saying woe to his people, is still a warning to us. India, a few years back, in fact this was taken in, I'm not quite sure, it's about 2004. And this is a village in Andhra Pradesh where the minister in charge there was one of the ministers that I looked after at the time with Frieda and some other ministers in this country, where we helped villages around the world to come together in their churches and their groups to support each other. And it brought home to us the need. Every year, their church, their Sunday school, the schools where the children went, the homes they lived in, when the rain came, they were flooded. And if it was a bad flood, the crops would go. And here, the church has got together and is providing free rice to be distributed to the people around. But they also came together to pray and to preach the word of God. A daily life of poverty, but they're still listening to God. Amos was talking to the Israelites who were living a very comfortable existence. But around them were people that were not so well off at that time, the nations of the world. But did they care? Were they worried? Were they even interested in what was happening? Today, do we worry about the differences between how well off we are and how other people are in the UK? Do we think of what God is telling us to do? Do we think that as a nation we are comfortable? When we look around us at Europe or farther afield, do we think they're better off, they're stronger than we are, or they're worse off? Both could be true. But we can't be that well off when we have the homeless on our doorstep. It's a strange thing that although we'd seen homeless when we'd lived in London before, we've been in churches in Chelsea, in the East End, here in Wallington, in the countryside, in Essex, then in Clacton, and in Yorkshire. You go to Norfolk, it's one of the strangest places, you never see a homeless person. They don't realise what the rest of the country is like. They don't realise that there are people outside their area that are suffering and in need. And that was the same with the Israelites there. They were relaxed and enjoying the comfortable life. Verse 3. Do we put off the day of calamity, and would you bring near the seat of violence? That picture I took on the Norfolk coast, and the air rescue wasn't coming out to rescue me. I was on shore. But there they were doing a rehearsal of a rescue from the sea and then hoisting the person out and putting them into a lifeboat a bit further away. The rescuer is always there for us if we listen. If we listen to what God is saying to us, those calamities in our life don't happen. It's when we turn away from Him that problems set in. It's when we turn away from doing His will. When the challenge is there, do we enjoy it? Or do we look to the violence that could happen? One of the problems that Amos recognized, those who recline in the beds of ivory and sprawl on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall. Those who are comfortable in their homes. Those who are comfortable in their activities. If we think about all the gadgets that we have today. I was talking to somebody when we were welcoming people at the door earlier. I think it was Lee I was talking to. And I said, well, years ago, in the offices, we used to send round memos to one another. Bits of paper were flying everywhere, and they were played. You know, I'm just going to write a memo to so-and-so. Boom, flip that on that desk. I'll deal with that. Memo to him. A lot of us can remember that. Nowadays, it's emails. I opened up my computer yesterday and was so upset. My speed, David, was down to 3. It was 2 hours before I could get anything. And when I got onto it, I had 20 emails. And I looked at it and I thought, close. I'm going off for 4 days, which I am now, when we leave here, and I'll see to them when I come back. So if you send me an email, you'll have an answer by the end of the week, but not before. But life changes. Gadgets change. We go to visit our children, and they're all like this on their phones. I've been in the same lounge with my daughter-in-laws talking to one another on their iPads. life moves on, but not always for the good. Here, when we have the entertainment, the dancing, who improvised to the sound of the harp like David have and compose songs for themselves? So often we glorify in the, not exactly the world, but we glorify in our own pleasure and what we like doing. I got asked last week, by Anthony. He said to me, "It won't be long. Formula One is back." And I said, "Yes, and it's actually next weekend it's back." So the television's already been tuned to record everything, every race, every practice, and everything. I'll follow that. But that's the beauty of the gadgetry we have. Life has made it able for us to be able to watch something, not when it's on, but at another time. So we don't have to give up other things. We can combine them. But not everybody is as fortunate as that. Not everybody has those benefits that we have. The world moves on. Do we move on as God is calling us to? Or do we try and move on in our own way? When God speaks to us, when he asks us and challenges us, do we listen? Or do we ignore it? When God speaks to you and said, "Will you do this?" Do we think to ourselves, "Well, it's a good idea, but I haven't got time"? When God called you to serve him, it may have taken an instant decision. It may have taken months before you listened. When God called you to give your life to him, you responded. And if you haven't responded yet, there's people here that you can talk to, David, Tim, the elders, that will help you to make that decision. When God said to you, "How about doing this?" Did you say, "I haven't got time, I haven't got the skills"? "I'm too busy at the moment"? Life, led by God, is not easy. But it's the only way that gives us the joy and the happiness that comes with knowing we have God's love and God's blessing on our lives. When we try and walk alone, it's exactly the same as what Amos was talking to the Israelites about. That when they walk alone, those nations round about them that were weak, he was going to give them strength. He was going to help them to overflow the Israelites. And they were going to be held in captivity. They'd experienced that years and years back. when Moses brought them out of the promised land. When Moses listened to what God was saying. When Amos listened to what God is saying, they have the choice again to turn and to recognize and follow God's will. Joshua called the leaders of the tribes together and challenged them when he said to them, "As for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. Will you?" And they replied, "We will." They did it for a while, and then everything gets too comfortable and too easy. The lifestyle is good. I'm all right, Jack. Do I really need to spend all this time doing what God wants? That's the challenge that God is putting to us today. When Amos said, "Woe to the people," that woe is to you and I. Today, in the 21st century, the challenge is there. So where and what hope have we got? The hope comes in the cross. The empty cross. Because Jesus came off the cross and was resurrected. He overcame death so that you and I can have life. He overcame death and rose again to be with the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and guide us and talk to us. He overcame death and gave up his blood that our failings, our sins, our mistakes could be forgiven, and that we would have life eternal with the Father. Our hope is in Christ, but we need to follow and listen to him and do his will and do his guidance and not turn to the world for our direction and our hope. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for your prophets, that they listened to your word, and by their word to the people thousands of years ago, that word is still meaningful and there to guide and help us today. Father, we pray that you will let your Spirit move in our hearts, that we may know you and serve you. In Jesus' name, Amen.